And so Paul is writing a letter about a lot of things, but then he decides to be spirit-led and write about Romans 8. This is where you take the surgical mask on and make sure everything's sanitized and go into the heart of things. It's probably one of the most, it can be challenging if you don't want to hear it, but it can be the most beneficial message if you want to receive it. And lay on that table to let the Holy Spirit surgically bring His Spirit into your heart. Are you ready? Yeah. So this may be corny, but I really want to do a visual here while I'm speaking. There's three parts to Romans 8. Three parts to Romans 8. And again, a lot of us know the chapter, but there's really, in my prayer time, I was like, wait a minute, I see the three parts here. Let me see if this works out. There's the now. He starts off, and we're going to read that. There is therefore now no condemnation. He starts out the first 10 to 15 verses are about now. Who's living in the now? We are, right? Whether you're hungry now or whatever, you know you're in the now. You're listening, whatever. Now is now. So this is relevant then, right? So he talks about the now. The second part he gets into, and he gets so excited about because he seeps it into some of the now part of this chapter, is and then. Now and then. Everybody say now and then. And then at the end of the chapter, he wants to hide it at the bottom so the reader would read the whole thing in this letter. He has the bridge that is the and, right? So you have now, then, and. Does that make sense? So the and is what glues the now and then together. And you're going to see this is so powerful in what he's dealing with, talking about. He begins to talk, he's not writing this letter, and certainly in the now, to convince the small churches that they need a behavior modification in the way they're living. This is key. Behavior modification. That I want to get to try and get you to do something that I need to do. Paul is talking about a transformation through the life in Christ. That's all he's saying. He's not even throwing psychology, all these things. They can have their level limits to us of what we may need or may not. But at the end of the day, you as a Christ follower should be experiencing the transformation. We worshiped in some of that earlier. Power of being in Christ. He starts off talking in this verse now, also saying that, do you know who you are? And then he goes to a further point. It's not so much do you know who you are, because our human thing can get a little ego in there that, you know who I am? I'm a child of God. You know, that's nice, and we wave some things around. But do you know whose I am? Because that means I belong to somebody. That means that I have a father, that I'm a child of somebody. And Paul is so neat how he breathes that out. But he's getting into this is not... It's certainly the first five or six verses. This is not a behavior modification letter. And I'm over here, so we're going to talk about what? Now. This is your now. And guess what? I'm going to go on the other end. What do you think that's going to be? Then. And then I'm going to come in the middle and we'll end it up, okay? All right. What is he doing? All right. Chapter 1. Excuse me, chapter 8, verse 1. I'm going to go over here so you can read it from there. But I'm going to read from here. So now, he started with it. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. We could take our time just there and unpack it. Condemnation. The enemy loves conning. You, that there's shame that you've screwed. Can I say screwed up? We're a little bit of adults, so. Screwed up. You did it again. You didn't meet the mark. There's shame and condemnation towards you. Most of the church hurt, most of it, not all of it, comes from that we've shamed people and forgot that we weren't them giving grace and the transformation of the Holy Spirit to heal them in certain areas. Condemnation. Condemnation makes us beat ourselves up sometimes. I should have did that. Makes you question yourself, maybe if you had a big decision. accuses you. Do they imagine if they knew who you were? Well, yeah, God does, and it's whose I am now. The world has a commerce of condemnation. And eventually the condemnation will lead to a self-fulfilling justification. But that's a whole another story. So condemnation it wasn't really a bad word. It's a Latin word to begin with. It gets into the judgment of things and conviction. But from biblical tense, we should always be have an appetite to have conviction in our lives, not condemnation. Conviction is, here's black and white, here's the blood of the cross, now let's convict you, don't do it again, and let's move on. Because of the blood of the cross and how much Jesus loves you, right? But condemnation can keep us paralyzed in the same circle of things, and we have to re-evangelize ourselves, and we're just never set free if we believe that. And Paul's starting the letter, so he thinks it's very important on our now. He says, there is no condemnation who those belong to Christ. And because you belong to him, we say, whose? The power. We sang about this today. The power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you. He's pretty clear about this. He's not a suggestive thing here. Has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Sin leads to death. Sin separates, it's a church, we can talk about sin. Sin separates us from God. It's not that he's angry at it, he's never angry, he loves us, but he cannot exist where sin is. Because it's the first thing of the Garden of Eden. When the serpent said, did God say that? And Adam and Eve said, I think we can handle this on our own. I'm going to separate. And they don't know what happened, but what was going to happen, but sin separates. Sin separates you from God. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. The law of Moses. So he's talking to the Jews as well too here. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Wow. Paul just got real and authentic. He says the law of Moses, again we know, coming down the Mount Sinai, here are the Ten Commandments. The law of Moses cannot save us because of our weakness. Healing begins when we know where our weakness is at times. So God did what the law could not do. Thank you, Jesus. He sent his only son in a body like the bodies we have sinned. This distinction, never mind a lot of other weighted things of truth, separates us from other religions, because other religions can't pray to a God that has raised himself from the dead and actually has power that can flow in and through your lives so you don't sin anymore. Other religions say you are the one that have to penance and are under a law to get out of sin. And then shame comes in and condemnation comes in. Let's go to verse 4. He did this because there was a just requirement, Jesus coming into a human body, of the law would be fully satisfied for us. No longer follow our sin nature, but instead follow the Spirit. So here's the surgeon going in, the Holy Spirit, taking the sin nature. That does not need to guide you anymore. But the Spirit of God that already is inside you. So for those who are dominated by the sinful nature, think about amazing things. No, they think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind, which is the epicenter of a lot of things, leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Like, it seems pretty clear. For the sinful nature, he says, don't even try and compromise, Paul's saying. For the sinful nature is always hostile with God. Always. Don't try and compromise. It never did obey God's law, and it never will. That's why those who are still under control of their sinful nature can never please God. In the name of Jesus, those that are feeling condemnation as we begin to open this up, Satan, you have no place. This is a room full of people that are surrendered to you in your name. In your name, no matter what we've done. In your name, no matter what we've done. No matter what we have done. Where was I? 8. That those who are still under control of the sinful nature never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember, those that do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to them. Can I ever lose my salvation? That's a floaty question right now. First asking that, then I get worried to begin with. Why? Are you thinking of doing something? You know, but do you have the Holy Spirit in you that is leading and guiding you? Because if you do, you're becoming more like Christ. This is so important. We've talked about this, and other pastors have talked about this too. And we just came away from Pentecost Sunday, and we're talking about that series, Filled. You need to know that when you surrendered your life to Christ, and if you haven't done that this day, there'll be a chance afterwards. We have a prayer team that would love to meet with you and pray with you. But when you surrender your life to Christ and repent of your sins and open the gate of your heart for Jesus to come in. Wow, I'm rhyming. I'll stop now. The Holy Spirit seals you. He's with you. And we as I used to say Western church, and I'll keep it there, but I really mean the American church. We wrap the prayer. We do all this. And we forget to tell them that they can't do without the Holy Spirit. Go get them. And then they never come back. Why? Because they weren't getting guided by the Holy Spirit. You cannot follow Christ without the Holy Spirit guiding you daily, comforting you, speaking truth, giving discernment in you. And then you also need to get filled with the Spirit at times. Doesn't mean you're speaking in tongues. That's a nice gift. Those are gifts. See, this is where a lot of things, if that happens, that's great. But then you need to be filled with the Spirit, which is power we were just talking about in the name of Jesus, to speak life into deathly situations. That's what we're called to do. Not just have a club and have church. It's nice. Christ died more, like I said earlier, for more than an hour and a half of this service. There's more. But you need to be asking daily for the Holy Spirit to guide you. Amen. Not CNN, not Fox. What other ones can I think of? Newsmax, that's another one. News Nation, even the Christian Post, even some Christian evangelists. Go to the Word, go to the Holy Spirit, and let that guide you daily. Not painting a brush, but just be careful, especially in the end of days. 9. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. I want to repeat this. And remember, those who do not have the Spirit living in them do not belong to Him at all. Stop trying to paint things up that are dead with people. Pray for them like we did earlier. Speak the name of Jesus to them in love. The power we're asking for to be filled with the Spirit isn't for us to bulldoze our agenda. Jesus didn't need an agenda. He didn't yell at the top of His lungs, as far as we know. I'm the one doing that now, I know. But it's boldness to build His kingdom in love. Because that's what the world's waiting. We're going to see that in a few minutes. And go to verse 10. And Christ lives with you, so even through your body, we are because of sin. The Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. When you surrendered your life to Christ, the blood that happened on that cross justifies you through faith. that you are right standing with all with Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth. We're going to see in a minute, he's your dad. He loves you. You're justified. Condemnation can't rule you out of that. Therefore, I'm just going to read from this. And Christ lives within you, so even though you bought your... Okay, this is... Okay, good. I'm glad I did this. So even though your body will die because of sin... Are you guys all sitting down? 10 out of 10 doctors say we may die. And we are so shocked when something happens. But if I have the life of Christ Jesus in us, we're seeing death is just a second passing to something better. Do we really understand that? Because we take too many temporal things and, oh, look at it and like, oh my God. And they're like, wait, Jesus is like, hey, whoa, I'm up here. I'm going to meet you someday soon, I hope. Just keep focusing more on eternal things. But we got to know, some Christians are scared to die. And that's the beginning of everything sometimes. If not healing or whatever. There's fear present. The Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. Let's keep going before I get in trouble. The Spirit of God who raised. Now we got to, let's, this is, I don't want to split hairs, but we need to. Can you read, when you guys read the Bible, and I'm not always perfect at this, but make some time to read the whole context. Like maybe the whole chapter like we're doing today. Because many times, and I got to do it too, I'm disciplining myself, I can take scriptures and paste them on a fridge or put them here and there, and yes, there's still life in there, but they're not the context of what the writer said. And the enemy likes to deceive out of that. He likes to go rabbit holes of things like this, and it's built all movements of other things like that, and we never read the whole chapter to say, you know what? So don't leave just yet, but so reading this chapter, he's talking about the now. What is now in our life? He's saying that we have the Spirit of God living in us. We are not slave to sin. The power of sin should have no place in your life. And the simply what that means is, Charles, can you stand up for a second? So if you got to come here because I'll get yelled at. I'm not under the light. Let's say you're sinning, okay? You don't need to tell me or anything, but say you're sinning. Well, when you're struggling with sin, let's say I'm the enemy. I'm like, hey, I'm putting this weight on you. Okay, but now when we begin to know the Spirit of life that is in Charles and ourselves, that the enemy can't put as much weight on us. So it gets lighter and one arm's off. So if I'm struggling with marijuana, let's say, because I know you've struggled with that. So I'm just kidding. So let's say I love Charles. He works for us. I know I can do this. So whatever it is, we could go down some roads and there's no condemnation, but don't do it. So now that's not becoming a power over my life as much. I've been saying in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, fill me with your love and your power and what you've called me to do by your will. I am healed. That there's no power of sin in this certain matter of area. Well, then I got to take my other hand off. But sometimes I may go like that to him, the enemy, when I'm getting temptation. But it's no effect as it used to be of a whole. Thank you. But it's no effect because it's been released. Oh, wait. But back to the context of things. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. He's talking about now, but he's about to get excited about and then. And we're not going to jump there yet, but he leaves a breadcrumb trail. He's like, I got to tell you now, though, this part. So Paul says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. But now remember, he said that we're going to die the verse before in sin. Our bodies, not our spirit. And just as God raised Christ from the dead, he will, here's what I mean, don't yell me yet. He's talking about the future here, the and then. God raised Christ Jesus from the dead. That was past. And here's the future that he's going to get excited about in a minute. But he says it now. He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living in you. Keep going. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. What Paul was saying with our mortal bodies, we use that back there as healing, and that's fine, use it. But the context, and he heals. Please, Pastor Chris said God doesn't heal. He heals. But that whole context is talking about the and then. When Jesus comes back and our mortal bodies are raised from the dead just like Jesus was. I know, I got you. That's what he's talking about. I got one amen. Do you know heaven and earth coming? We're not getting into end times right now. Remember we're talking about kingdom down, heaven up mindset? Read Revelations from 3 to 10 and we'll go through it. We're going to read letters, I think, in this later in the summer. That heaven and earth is coming together. Our bodies are being reconciled to what the decay of sin has done now. It's going to be reconciled. That should give you a glow, especially anybody the age of 55 and over should say hallelujah. But that's what Paul's leaving breadcrumbs with the rest of the things he's about to talk about. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You don't. You don't owe anybody anything because whose you are now? A child of God. And he'll get into that in a minute. Keep going. For if you live by its dictates, certainly our culture dictates a lot, you will die. But through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful natures. You will live. The two, oil and vinegar, cannot live together like this. Keep going. For all who are led by the Spirit of God, we know this verse, are children of God. Pastor, if I'm not live by the Spirit, I'm not a child. Just reading the context of this whole chapter 8. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For all who are led by their education, working knowledge of systems and man-made things that need to happen are children of God. No, I mean, you can know that, but they're saying that's greater than anything you've been educated in or doing in or anything. You need to be led by the Spirit of God. Then you are a child of God. So if I think I can lose my salvation, I need to look, hey, have I been led by the Spirit of God? That's real easy. Yes or no, night and day. Keep going. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you receive God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we can call him. Yes. Yes. He paid a lot for it. We should utilize it. Keep going. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Be connected. Keep going. And since we are his children, we are his, come on guys, we are his heirs. In the fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, now the amen, slow down here. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share. When I became a Christian, nothing bad should happen to me. I shouldn't suffer because Jesus suffered. Oh, your theology's way off. But we've breeded a lot of things in church that is scared of suffering. We don't welcome it. I wouldn't welcome it. But there's two times of suffering. There's a few different types of suffering. Just the one and two elevator pitch different suffering is, one is, you're your own worst enemy. You made some bad decisions. Second is you're suffering for Christ because you're actually building kingdom. God cares about both. He'll meet you in both places. But most of the suffering we're talking about is, because especially there in Rome where there's a lot of persecution and the heat's coming up quite a bit, where many of those that are reading this for the first time are probably losing their lives very soon over this. So his suffering. So we want the glory. But do we know we have to, as we are like Christ, there'll be a suffering too? But if we have the Spirit in us, we can do this. We can go through this. We can. All right. So that is the now. All excited. Oh my gosh. My now does, it, depending where you are, you know, that now should be very exciting. Because now you know that if you have the power of sin in your life happen, you have, that it does not have to dominate you whatsoever. that the power of God, the Holy Spirit living in you, the blood that was shed on the cross, does not need to make you a slave to that sin. And there's no condemnation. We talk sometimes with people that are struggling with some stuff. And okay, it happened again. Okay, well, go back to the cross. Plead the blood. Repent of your sin. Keep doing that. Because at some point the power has to, like with Charles' example down there, can't have effect on you at some point if you're truly submitted and walking by the Spirit of God. Do you know how much peace you can get when you're walking in the Spirit of God? I haven't attained it 100% yet, but I've had some tastes that are like, whoa, I should be a mess right now. I should have been angry. I should have lost my peace. I should have pulled my hair, whatever's left. I should have done anything. But because I was walking in the Spirit at those different moments, the peace of God, as the same author of Paul would say, peace that passes all understanding, came and flooded my heart and said, you're a child of God. Don't worry. You see, when you begin to work with the Spirit, again, I use that weird analogy with a cup. I don't know, I was just holding it. But we get so focused on so many temporary things. Who's in office? What's my checkbook balance? Those are important. We're not going to an island and drinking Kool-Aid. But these are important things. But they're not the things that define whose we are. They're not. Relationships that are broke, people who have died, that's sad, and I'm not insensitive to that. But certainly if they know Christ Jesus, oh my gosh, you'll see him soon again. So that means you need to make sure your family knows Jesus. But when you're living by the Spirit, the weight of normality of what the world would say is not as weighty anymore. I'm not so heavenly minded that I'm earthly useless, but there's the Spirit of God that lets me navigate through things, even in health issues or whatever's going on. I know at the end of the day, my Redeemer lives, and he's got me. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing the song. But so now he's going to translate into future glory. So he changes after verse 17, we read that. Then he's going to change into what the hope that we need to look into. And he let the breadcrumb grow, and I think verse 10. So why don't we go to 18? So future. Yet what we suffer now, so he's starting to leave it, is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Nothing. Bankruptcy, loss, firing of a job, nothing. These are hard things. This is surgical stuff. This causes people to mature, and I got to mature too. But yeah, what we suffer now is nothing. Nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. Keep going. For all creation, this is so good to know. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day. What future day? The Ancient of Days, God Almighty, and Jesus returns. For the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. I think you and I will be surprised that some folks you thought weren't his children are his children. And some that you thought were his children are not. Waiting eagerly for the future day when God reveals who his children really are. Keep going. Against its will, this is so good, especially you people who want Earth Day. Against his will, all creation was subject to God's curse. So God designed the earth. He didn't make a mistake. Even the mosquitoes. He didn't make a mistake. He created the earth, the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were to steward that. But he's saying here that when Adam and Eve sinned, the curse was on the whole world, and it was not by their doing. It was subject to God's curse. But with eager hope, and then, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. That should put pep in your step. Children, glorious freedom from death and decay. whatever, DK, sorry, continue. For we know that all creation has been groaning. We just had a meteor shower, a meteor fall yesterday. Earthquakes, whatever, storms. This is part of the groaning. For we know that all creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth. Isn't that interesting, his language there? I just caught that. Childbirth of the children of God being revealed. Isn't that interesting? I don't know. In the pains of childbirth right now up until the present time, keep going, and we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit with us as a foretaste of a future glory. That's future glory. The Spirit of God is in you through the Holy Spirit. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as His adopted children. Here we go again, including the new bodies He has promised for us. The original intent and creation of Eden is going to be restored. Because sin can't be no more because we're getting judged. That's a whole other message, but keep going. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. Keep going. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must. Here's that, that word. We must wait patiently, but confidently. Keep going. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we do not know what God wants us to pray. This is when the Spirit of God filling in prayers He's getting into. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Do you know Jesus didn't speak English? I mean, they say Aramaic, but you wouldn't even say that. I mean, the spiritual realm, because we try and possess things with our words. But in the spiritual realm, He's talking about groanings because we just don't know what it's so ginormous of a thing of having the Almighty God that we can pray towards Him. For us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Keep going. And the Father who knows all hearts. You remember that when we judge people. For us and others that we judge. Don't worry about it. Abba Father knows everybody's heart. Knows that the Spirit, what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Keep going. We know the scripture, but did you realize it was all in the, hidden in this chapter pretty well of writing to this? Let me just get to where here. And we know that God causes a few things. No, everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called. We're all called. We know that, right? We're all called to Christ according to His purpose for them. The rest of the journey, once you're called to Christ, is finding out your purpose lined with His will in your life. According to His purpose for them, keep going. For God knew His people in advance, shouldn't surprise us, and He chose them. Come on, this is the, I say end game, I'm sorry. What are we doing? Why are we here? The end game is to become more like His Son Jesus, you and I. What? You don't know who I am. We already, earlier we talked about the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that's in you when you surrender your life to Christ. That you are made right already. That we're going to become more like His Son, the second Adam. So that His Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. See, go back a few. I mean, I can't. So they'll put on the refrigerator this one. Forgotten, no, go back. It works for things for their good. So, okay, we'll put this on the back of our car. And we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Hallelujah. Nothing will stop me now. Keep going. But let's go into context of things. Keep going. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them the right standing with himself. So if you're so wanting everything to work for good, know that you have a right standing with him so he can work good. And having given them the right standing, he gave them his glory. Come on, there's a lot behind that just for a good, for you to have a good day. 31. Yes. So here is the bridge. So we were, what was that? That was now. And this is and then. And here's the bridge that binds it all together. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? In politics, in finances, in disputes, who can be against us? Keep going. Since he did not spare even his own son, our father Abba, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? He pretty much bankrupt heaven to do this. Keep going. Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us the right standing with himself. I don't care what your parents said, if they were good or bad. I don't care what a teacher said over you to convince that you're a loser, you'll never make it. I don't care what people said, that you've got issues or not. God's saying he's chose you for his own, and no one, for God himself, can give us that right standing with himself, that you are righteous with God. And there's no condemnation. Keep going. Who dares accuse? Who then will condemn us? Who? That's not an egotistical statement. That's a statement of love, because I know I didn't deserve it most of the time. Who? Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor, we know up in heaven, at God's right hand, pleading for us. He's not just waiting to come back. He's pleading. His attention span is on you now while he's sitting next to the Father. Keep going. Can anything ever, here's the bridge. You need to know this. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean you have no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecution or hunger or destitute? He's covering a lot. Or even danger or threaten, oh my gosh, with death. Let's go back to that. Can anything ever separate us from the love of Christ? You need to know that. You need to know that. Even in your sin, you need to know that. Can anything ever separate us? Trouble, calamity. Wait a minute. I read the Christian brochure and we're not supposed to have any of that. I must have read in the foyer, they gave me the wrong brochure. No, he's saying it's going to come, but Christ will never leave you in any of that because he loves you so very much. Again, are we now so temporal that we can't see then and we can't be bridged into this? Keep going. As the scripture says, for your sake, we are killed. So, in the context of Rome, their persecution wasn't over a mask. It was death. It was over, I mean, I know COVID's COVID and people died. I'm not saying that. But it was over, it wasn't over you can raise a flag or not. It was over death. People were dying because of their faith, just like they are in Nigeria, and please keep them in prayer. As scripture says, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Keep going. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Overwhelming. He had to bless you. Overwhelming is a big word. Over, it's not, you don't need to think of it. Maybe it's victory or not. No, it's overwhelming. Overwhelming. Victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. Keep going. And I am convinced that nothing, this is so key as he builds the bridge to the now and then. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death. Neither death. Nor life. Neither angels nor demons. Neither our fears for today. You need to submit that. Fears for today. nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. That should anchor you into anything that you may come against. God's love. God's love. God's love. Let's finish with the last verse. No power in the sky above, not even a meteor, or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Our Lord. Oh my goodness, I didn't realize the time. Why don't we stand? Paul starts out saying, sin does not have to have a power over you at all. You left it. You're a new Christ, a creature in Christ Jesus. You don't have to deal with sin in your life. We're not perfect, but we know who we can submit perfectly to, a perfect God. But you need to deal with sin, especially in these end days. It's God is slowly beginning to judge leaders in our Christianity movement. And you know that. Well, who's next after that? Us, the church in those areas. You can either fall away or you can repent of sins. The Spirit of God wants to break bondage that you may have over things in your life. And that we know that now is just now, because there is a then where we are going to be reunited with Christ, restoration for our bodies, for His creation, for eternity. And until that matters, nothing can separate us, because God loves you so very much. Jesus did so many much. The love He has for you, you will probably only know, this is my opinion, I don't know if this is scripture, you will probably just faintly begin to understand the love He has for you when you begin to see Him face to face. But we can get pretty close here. We can get pretty close here. Can we play some music? I know it's running late a little bit, but this was on my heart earlier, and I think it's something. If you've been following Christ for a while, everybody's going to get tense. Good, get tense. If you've been following Christ for a little while and you haven't been able to release this power of sin in your life over something, I don't need to know what it is. Let me go down the list. Christians are dealing with many different things. It's not just addiction, it's depression. It's anxiety. It's many things that you're not surrendering to Christ for Him to take control, because you want to continue to control it maybe in some areas. And that's okay. Guess what? There's no condemnation for those. But if you want to break free of something, I want you to come down. I just want to lay my hands on you. Yeah, it's a big step. I don't know what it is, and I don't want to know what it is. I just want you to come down. Does this mean that much to you that you want to release the sin in your life? Because if you do, you can take that step. Jesus took a bigger step. But you could take this little step. And I know we don't do many altar calls, but we do it when we really feel we need to, in this sense. Because sin is holding you back for the greatness of what God wants to do in your life right now. Right now. And it doesn't matter what it is. Sin is sin. But many Christians are bound by things that need to be released and given away, because they're holding them back. And we've all been there to some degree. I've had to fight with this. I've had one thing that tried to be a back on me. It wasn't any legal, anything bad. But it was bad. It was sin. God said, it is sin. Get rid of it. It took me a year or two. But when it broke, it was when I finally said, I'm all yours. I don't know how to do this. I can read self-help books. I can read all these ideas of man answering the issue that is a spiritual issue. And it won't work. And it didn't work. So we just had to basically sacrifice and say, I surrender it all to You. And you know what? When that happened, the sin came back a little bit. But that's okay, because it was less on my back. In the name of Jesus, you do not have power over me. Whatever it is, I'm walking, I'm right standing with Christ. You cannot affect my life and my thoughts and my soul. And even every time it got fainter and fainter, and now it's like, oh my gosh, I want to testify to people that are going through those things, because the Jesus that I know will heal and save, no matter what this is. So I'm just going to lay hands quickly while we sing something. Don't need to move too much, but I'm just going to pray. First of all, I need to pray. Heavenly Father, forgive me of any things that I have not spoken today that were not your words. Let them only be your words. If so, we know your Holy Spirit is more powerful than my words and will reach people wherever they need to be. Forgive me in Jesus' name. Lord, as we're about to lay hands on those who want to break free from sin, Satan, you're on notice. You're not waiting in the car. You're not waiting, because we're breaking it here in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. What an awesome service on this beautiful day. Mm-hmm. I'm here with my brother in Christ, Mr. Steve. I'm so glad you were able to be with us this morning. What a powerful, powerful message. Today, Pastor talked about Romans 8 and that the very same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in us, and we have no obligation to sin. Sin has no power over us. What an amazing message, Lord. And I am just, it just blessed my heart so much. Do you have anything to share?
Well, you know, there was a friend of mine who was a big poker player, and he'd lose a big hand and he'd say, oh, new hand, new hope. Of course, that's the world's idea of, you know, something to look forward to, which, you know, really, when you think about it, wasn't something to look forward to at all. But in Romans chapter 8, you know, some people have said if they had to live on a desert island, that one chapter and one book would be Romans chapter 8.
Amen.
To have with them on that island, because it talks about the real new life and new hope, and that's, you know, having the Holy Spirit come in to be in you and having a new nature. And if we read, you know, Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about, you know, I wanted to do this and I didn't do it. I didn't want to do this and I did it, because he was operating, you know, even as a you know, significant Christian, you know, with sin and death hovering around him. But then he launches into Romans chapter 8 and he says, there's no condemnation now in this new person that you are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And wow. I feel like doing a backflip right here, except I might hurt myself.
Amen. Yeah. No, but you're right. Thank you so much for sharing. And thank you all so much for joining us. And, you know, we'd love to see you and hug on you in person on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and Wednesday evenings at 7:30. Please call or text the number on the screen if you need anything. Please reach out. We would love, you know, to wrap our arms around you. Please go and enjoy this wonderful day. And thanks again for joining us. Bye.